Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time live on this Tuesday, a slower part, of course, of the sports calendar. But tonight, following the Home Run Derby last night in Arlington, it's the Midsummer Classic in Major League Baseball, the 2024 All-Star Game here at the All-Star Break. The best in the bigs on full display. The new era of the National League. Paul Skenes gets the start for the NL. We will break down everything you need to know. Looking back on the Derby last night and forward to the All-Star Game on this Tuesday. Four games in the WNBA before the All-Star and Olympic break on this Tuesday night as well. And the Rooks are starting to show up for training camp around the National Football League. Plenty to get to here, DRS, on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
Yeah, if they're showing up on the East Coast, they're catching a heat wave of close to 100 degrees. So good luck to those guys working out. Get plenty of hydration breaks, which you saw yesterday, the hydration going over Teoscar Hernandez in the Home Run Derby. Now, we're going to have some interesting points about that Home Run Derby, and should maybe, Ben Stevens, it go by the way of the dunk competition, where it's like, you know what? Commissioner Donnie is going to make changes that the public will absolutely love.
Commissioner Donnie, we get animated on this Tuesday morning because there didn't really seem to be all that much animation last night at the Home Run Derby in Arlington. It lacked the juice. It didn't really have that enthusiasm or the excitement maybe set up by one of the worst national anthems you will ever hear last night at Globe Life Field. But the long ball wasn't all that long last night. Regardless, Teoscar Hernandez makes history, becoming the first Dodger in history of the Home Run Derby since its inception in 1985 to win a Derby crown. He outlasts Bobby Witt Jr. in the final round. He hit 14 in the final round. Bobby Witt Jr. hit a long fly on his final pitch of the night that hit off the base of the wall in center field. Maybe the most drama we had all evening long in Arlington at the Home Run Derby. But the result, a big upset for Teoscar Hernandez. A 12-1 price, third longest out of all eight contestants in the field. He cashes a big ticket and makes history for the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, I like that too, because you have that underdog price. It's not just going chalk where, you know, I believe Pete Alonso would do well. He didn't even make it out of round number one. You take a look at Bobby Witt, who did actually make it to the final. I thought it was a decent product, but at the same time, it can be improved so much. And it's just amazing where we wind up in this competition. And Teoscar Hernandez, don't take anything away. You got to win it against the field that you have. Congratulations to him, but very underwhelming. And those changes can be simple and they can be swift on a couple things I saw last night. Also, what you can do in the future. It's easy. It's a simple fix.
All right. I look forward to what that is, and we'll hear about it more as we break down the Derby in our next segment. Pete Alonso looking for his third home run Derby crown, the least or second least amount of home runs in the opening round, only 12. His first round over-under was 24.5. He only gets halfway there. Paul Skeens gets the start tonight in the Midsummer Classic for the National League in the All-Star Game. Yesterday, the American League naming its starting pitcher as well. Not Tarek Skubal. Corbin Burnes of the Baltimore Orioles gets the nod for the American League. The Orioles' ace on the bump tonight in Arlington.
Deserved, well-deserved, therefore. So we got two good starting pitchers, I should say, ready to rock and roll on new teams technically, right? You see the rookie there on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Corbin Burnes comes over from the National League, now pitching for the AL. So I like the two starting matchups here. It should be a fun one.
Yeah, it really should be a great game. Last year, the National League victorious in Seattle 3-2, snapping a 9-game win streak for the AL. Plenty of MLB All-Star Game betting trends coming your way later in the show. Second of a 5-game exhibition slate for Team USA as the men's basketball squad gets ready for the Paris Olympics with opening ceremonies just a week and a half away out in Abu Dhabi against Australia as a 20.5 point favorite, maybe a little bit more competitive than the Americans anticipated out of the Aussies. 98-92, the victory for the United States. But again, the Australians keep it a lot closer than the odds makers anticipated.
Which is great, because if you want to bet Team USA, you want to hope that Team USA has close games here in this little, you know, round of let's get familiar with our players and our teammates and, you know, get after it here. Because quite frankly, I would love to see them take a loss in this exhibition role to get that price even lower. Team USA is the best. It's just a matter of them just coming up short, meaning they didn't play a very good basketball game at all in the knockout stages. But from a betting perspective, loved it yesterday. Keep that price going lower, not higher.
Yeah, so now we have some more news with Team USA and the Americans. The drama around Kawhi Leonard's spot. Ultimately, it seemed as though Team USA and the Clippers decided it was best for Kawhi to focus on the upcoming season and recover with his knee injury. But LA's basketball president of operations, Lawrence Frank, releasing a statement yesterday saying he was very disappointed in Team USA's decision to remove Kawhi Leonard and replace him on the roster. Frank saying he was there at the opening two practices in Las Vegas, and Kawhi looked just fine to him, and the Clippers franchise wanted Kawhi Leonard to play for Team USA in the Paris Olympic Games.
Now, I don't want to say that your boy DRS usually has his, you know, finger on the pulse at this point, but when Kawhi Leonard was sent home, I questioned that move as opposed to injury, because why would he be there? So now we're getting the true story start to filter out. He's not injured. They just sent him home because he was being a malcontent at camp. How about that? Your boy DRS probably on the right side on that one, BSS.
Your last name is right side. It is what you do. Interesting developments around Team USA. Of course, Derek White named his replacement, Jaylen Brown, who was courtside last night in Sin City for NBA Summer League action, with a quote about the Lakers' newest second-round draft pick, saying that he and Derek White have squashed any beef. All is good after the Olympic snub. We love some drama off the court during a basketball off season. T. Higgins, yesterday was the final day, July 15th, that he and the Bengals could have reworked a short-term deal that would have been in lieu of the franchise tag. T. Higgins deciding to play under the franchise tag that made official yesterday. A one-year deal, of course, worth close to $21 million. T. Higgins on the tag this year, his future in Cincinnati after a little bit uncertain.
trying to get my doctorate in college right now, Ben. If I was, my thesis would be on what is actually going on with T. Higgins and a write-up of the worst agent handling of a player that I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. And everybody seems to be okay with that in Cincinnati, which is a major win for them. But if I have an agent that's hired to be in the best interest of my client, and I have to tell my client, hey, by the way, everybody in your spot here has got an extra $50 million guaranteed in their account. Sorry about that. Go out there and play. Good luck. Hope you don't get hurt, kid. Let's have a year.
Yep, that's what T. Higgins is going to do in Cincy after he signed his franchise tag tender. The Bengals' price to win the AFC grew shorter. It's 7-1, third best number behind only Kansas City and Baltimore. Juan Soto says, quote, "Nobody knows what will happen next year," end quote. If he's just speaking about the future, Juan Soto is correct. But, of course, it's the big money offseason that will follow this winter for one of the best new pieces of the pinstripes. Does he remain in New York? That will be the question after 2024.
Oh, I love this, too. And for some reason, like Yankee players, is dating back to Aaron Judge, where all you want to hear from a fan is, "I love it with the Yankees. I hope to be a career Yankee and never leave here." Aaron Judge told you, better yet, maybe get a better superstar on this team that you like better, Juan Soto. How do you ingratiate yourself to New York? Hey, man, you never know if I'm going to stick around or not. Just say the right things. I love New York. I hope I'm here long term. What's the big deal?
He wants to make sure that his long-term future is maybe a little bit uncertain to cause some
crazy
more drama. This somehow made it as the final thing in 7-7. Rafael Nadal in a doubles match at the Swedish Open is getting ready for the Paris Olympics. He won. Home Run Derby recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2024 Home Run Derby last night in Arlington, Texas, to kick off the All-Star festivities this weekend in the Lone Star State. I said weekend, I mean week. It is a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The unlikely champion, the first in the history of the Dodgers organization in his first season at Chavez Ravine, Teoscar Hernandez outlast Bobby Witt Jr. last night of the Kansas City Royals to win the 2024 Home Run Derby crown in Arlington. 14 long balls in that final round. Bobby Witt Jr. only able to muster up 13. His final pitch of the night for Bobby Witt Jr. was a deep and sky-high fly off the base of the wall in center. He shrugged in disappointment. Teoscar Hernandez immediately celebrating. 49 total home runs for Hernandez last night in DRS. He entered the Home Run Derby in a field of 8 with the 6th best price. That's 3rd longest at 12-1. Cash a big plus money price on the underdog last night for Teoscar Hernandez, who had the longest price of the 4 into the 2nd and semifinal round and was the underdog against Bobby Witt Jr. in that championship round as well. Plus money across the board for Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, and also yesterday, from a handicapping perspective, we talked about this extensively. You know, how do you actually approach the Home Run Derby? And sometimes it comes down to its simplest form. You take a look and say, well, I don't know if I want to lay minus, what, 250, 280, whatever it was, on Pete Alonso to advance into the semifinals.
Yeah.
So I went Jose Ramirez, and not basically because I thought he was a great hitter. It's like, okay, there's 8 guys. They can all do it equally, basically. And as it turned out, there were a lot of upsets there. Plus 198 gets into the next round. I thought that was a possibility. And also, from a guy that's been in the actual tournament before, didn't have a great appearance in his first time around, had a better appearance yesterday. That worked out certainly in the favor. But also, if you were just looking, and the joke was yesterday too, was why don't you just take like Alec Bohm at 20-1, 22-1, wherever it closed at, because like, hey, maybe he can do something. He looked like he was damn near right to steal that thing, and he advances with a nice money price into the semifinals, but upended by Hernandez. But it did come down to that final hit for Bobby Witt, which hit the bottom of the wall, so he did have a little bit of intrigue there at that point. But from my angle of it, it was, okay, maybe it should be Pete Alonso. The guy doesn't make it there. But number two, we talked about this yesterday. Like, this is an arena, or should I say a huge stadium that is enclosed with a dome, with the air conditioning on. There was no real handicap going into it, but just looking at the total distance of the longest home run by going, it's not great conditions to hit, and it easily, Ben, stayed under that total. Now, granted, I gave that information out yesterday. Didn't bet it myself, only had a small piece on the best bet of the day as it worked out. But it wasn't a bad home run derby, but there are changes that I would like to see, but certainly a worthy winner in Teoscar Hernandez to perform in front of all of those players and those fans where you are the spotlight to win it. That's a pretty big deal.
There weren't as many long balls yesterday. We'll get to some of the results for the overall home run derby in just a moment, but virtually everything stayed under what a home run total was. 273 and a hook, up from 296 and a half for the total amount of home runs, hit over all three rounds by all eight contestants. Tom Vecchio shared the trends yesterday, the home run prop king. We saw more than 340 2 years ago, even last year out in the Northwest in Seattle. T-Mobile Park, as we all know, a pitcher's-friendly ballpark. Even we got over 290 last year. Yeah. Not really the case yesterday, just 225 in total. There weren't the fireworks that maybe we expected, but Teoscar Hernandez cashes a big plus-money price. You mentioned Alec Boehm. He tied for the most in the opening round alongside J-Ram Jose Ramirez. Five of the eight were debutants, including Hernandez. That was a -168 price for a first-time appearance to be a first-time winner. Entering the home run derby, DRS, Pete Alonso, a 3-1 number, win his third home run derby crown. Only four players in the history of Major League Baseball's home run derby have won multiple titles. Ken Griffey Jr. with the most. He has three. Pete Alonso still stuck on two. Prince Fielder has two. And Yoenis Cespedes Alto, also multiple home run derby crowns. Pete Alonso entered yesterday as the favorite at 3-1. Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles, who has the third most long balls all year in MLB, had the second best price at +380. Those two guys, Polibear with 12 and Gunnar Henderson with 11, had the least amount of home runs in the opening round, both staying well under their first round total. So we didn't really get the theatric or hot off the presses as maybe we expected last night in Texas.
No, we didn't. And it still turned out to be okay at that point. But what can you do? And also, shout out to Pete Alonso. He only gets the 12. He doesn't advance into the semifinals. But you heard what you said there. The fifth time in here, trying to win it again. Knowing that people like myself say, give me the big boppers. Even if it doesn't work out, you're still anticipating their at-bats here. You didn't know what you were going to get out of Teoscar Hernandez. He ends up winning it here. Bobby Witt Jr., young kid we knew would put on a show. He was fine. Alec Boehm, where some people didn't think he'd be able to even hit a single home run, does put on a good show. And quite frankly, had a legitimate chance to win it once he advanced here.
Yeah.
But in the next segment, we'll talk about some of the changes that should be made in there. It's hard to mess up home run derby, Ben, and they didn't technically mess it up. It's not the Major League Baseball's fault. Now, they could have changed a few things. It's really on the players. Like, you're looking around, just a quick sample, like Shohei Ohtani. I didn't want to do it this year, but when I get back to pitching and hitting next year, I'll go, that doesn't make any sense what he's talking about. This should be about superstars that people want to see. The anticipation sometimes, Ben, worth more than the actual competition itself. We just didn't have the anticipation. That was the shame of it.
It's been a part of the dunk contest, not getting the best high flyers or the biggest names in the NBA out there for All-Star Weekend. The two leading home run hitters this year, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, two of the biggest names and stars in the sport, not in the home run derby. Only Alec Boehm and Jose Ramirez tying for the most home runs after the opening round with 21 deep shots. The only two players out of the eight in the field to even go over their first round total. Boehm, the least amount with 18 and a half. Jose Ramirez at 19 and a hook, both going over with 21. We'll get to some of the other results on the other side of the break. Those prop bets for the field overall. We saw a debutant winner, Teoscar Hernandez, -168, but Hernandez's number individually, 12-1, third longest out of the eight hitters last night in Arlington. And then Commissioner Wrightside puts on his home run derby commish cap and tells you what the changes to the format he wants to see. Slight changes last night, of course, in the three rounds. Still the time limit, but the pitch limit as well. What does DRS have to say? Your guess is good as mine. Up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Maybe you had a ton of wagers last night on the 2024 Home Run Derby to build your own excitement and hopefully cashing some bets. Hopefully you had one at a 12-1 number on the champion, Teoscar Hernandez, who entered with a third longest price out of the field of eight. If you bet the Derby props themselves, unless you took a lot of unders last night in Arlington, probably not your most profitable evening in Major League Baseball history. The longest home run hit by Atlanta's Marcell Ozuna. 482.5 was the number. It stays under by about 10 feet. Total home runs on the rise, 273.5. I thought Tom Vecchio made a great point about why we could expect an over last night. It stays so far under with only 225. It was part of the lack of excitement because there just weren't all that many home runs like we had seen in years previous in this format. Total home runs by the champ, 63.5. Teoscar Hernandez holds on with only 49. A swing-off tiebreaker, though, that was the most exciting moment of the night. Bobby Witt Jr. down to his final pitch. He had 13 home runs. Teoscar Hernandez in the championship round had 14. Deep fly to center, deepest part of the park at Globe Life Field, off the base of the wall in center field. Bobby Witt Jr. coming oh so close, but just a little bit short. So not a ton of value from the prop perspective, which leads into our next conversation. Commissioner Donnie Wrightside is here. You mentioned from the very start of the show, DRS, the changes you would make to bring back the juice to the Home Run Derby. What are they?
Look, it's a couple simple ones here, and it doesn't have to be, you know, ridiculousness, because I can put that commissioner's cap on and I go down that NBA path saying, you know what, we're going to vote on who we want to be in the slam dunk competition. Let's just say it's LeBron James, it's Anthony Edwards, and a couple other superstars that you want to see, Giannis. And LeBron James goes, well, I'm healthy, I don't want to play in it. And then I go, okay, well, it's a 10-game suspension, no pay, outside the All-Star break, because you don't want to compete in it. Now, granted, I like that train of thought, and I would support that, but I know most people wouldn't. But it's just simple Major League Baseball, and sometimes it's not actually the issue, as I said, from a Major League Baseball level, not talking about the players itself, from upper management, ownership, and certainly the league and the commissioner's office. It's a simple fact that I call it like the Mike Trout analogy for baseball. Baseball has a lot of superstars, but it's up to the superstars to market themselves. Baseball does a terrible job itself, and also the players as well. Have you ever checked out like the feeds from, let's just say, social media for NBA players compared to Major League Baseball players? It's non-existent. Like, follow your average superstar. He might tweet once a month that says, hey, buy a protein powder from this place, and you never hear from him again. So Mike Trout was the face of Major League Baseball, and what did he say? Yeah, you know what? That's all fine and good. Don't put me on commercials. I don't want to speak out about it. I just want to, like, live my own life and be fine with it. That's part of the issue. But number two would be help the players out as well. What did we talk about yesterday? Tom Vecchio came on. We're hitting the same highlights here. Open the roof. It's 100 degrees. That means the baseball is going to travel further, which means more home runs at a bigger distance. Isn't that what we want to see? Number two, money is not really an object anymore in the dunk competition and Major League Baseball. You're not going to tell Otani, hey, if you win this, we'll give you $2 million. Like, look, I make that on interest on a day-to-day basis. Why am I going out there? But also number three, I'm assuming they're still corking the bats and having the juice baseballs at that point, but the participation needs to rise, and we need just to have better competition. Now, to change the competition, you saw it last night. Hey, they're hitting home runs here, they're hitting home runs there. Change the rule altogether. Do you know who wins the competition, Ben? Not who hits the most home runs, who hits the farthest home run. That's the winner. One goes 525 feet. Hey, you only hit four of them. Well, he was trying to swing from his heels. People want to see distance out there and absolute bombs. So if you're going to have guys like Alec Bohm with a sweet swing just making over the fence, that's not fun anymore. Let's do things that were so enjoyable just a few years back when Sanchez and Stanton and Aaron Judge were knocking baseballs off the back wall in Miami. That's fun. It's a simple change. Instead of hitting home runs there, just give me the distance. The guy with the longest distance, he wins home run derby. People would enjoy that, because no longer are you saving yourself and calling timeouts because you're tired. Your only goal is to hit a baseball as far as humanly possible. That's fun to watch.
If I can add two things, Commissioner Whiteside, as your deputy, regardless of where the All-Star game is played, let that city host, let them get the economic bump. Home Run Derby are always at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. Then you see fly balls go more than 520 feet. If that's not enough, if we can't go to Coors, then maybe we bring back the days of McGuire and Sosa and Canseco, if you know what I mean. Just a couple of quick, you know, bang, bang, bang. Let him out there. Don't
have an aluminum
bat. A couple of weeks
out there. Aluminum bats out there.
Yeah. Aluminum bats would be sick. Or maybe we emphasize small ball like they do in the Korean baseball league.
Oh,
a bunch derby.
Oh,
all right. We'll go around what happened yesterday for Team USA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second game of five exhibition matches in the Team USA showcase to get ready for the 2024 Paris Olympics yesterday afternoon out in Abu Dhabi. It was an early start here stateside around noon Eastern time. And the Americans against the Australians were booked as a 20.5-point favorite. Pre-game over-under, yes, albeit for an exhibition, 188 and a hook. It was Team USA in its first exhibition match last week against Canada, who has the second best price, maybe the second best outlook for the Olympic Games, winning and covering by 14 in a highly defensive game. Not necessarily the case yesterday in Abu Dhabi. Team USA victorious, 98-92 the victory for the Americans, but the Aussies easily cover in a much more competitive game than the 20.5-point pregame number might indicate. 188.5 does go over as well. DRS, anything that Team USA should be concerned by after this second exhibition match against the Australians?
No, because they're just trying to find their legs at this point right now. And also keep in mind, you're out in Vegas, you're flying to Abu Dhabi, you're playing a team that you really didn't game plan for. You're just saying everybody's going to get about 20 minutes, get your shots up, and we'll see what happens. And also, Team USA wasn't behind in this game or didn't play lackluster effort. They were up about 25 points at one point, I believe, and let it slimmer down to a closer score at the end of the game. But I'm not worried about that either way at this point. It's just a team looking almost like an exhibition where it's like, is anybody shocked? Like, oh my God, Kansas City went 1-2 in the exhibition season in the NFL. Like, nobody cares about that because you're just trying to get your reps in at this point. And also, the better players, and yes, there are better players than some here on the Olympic team, are going to get many more minutes than the other players who are undeserving of that. And that's not a fair word to say, but you get the point here. There's starters and there's guys coming off the bench for a reason here. Team USA is going to be just fine. I don't look at this game and say, oh no, they're in a little bit of trouble now. Once they get to the Olympics, you'll find out exactly what's going down in games one and games two to see if Team USA is formidable, which we know they are, but just how formidable of an opponent they will be.
DRS, did you check the rundown, by the way? Did you see the tweet, the official game score graphic from the USA basketball team account? What is the upside down g'day, mate? Is that like down under?
No, I mean, like everything, like, yeah, exactly. They're upside down in Australia.
But why is it upside down?
Because Australia is down there, so it's flipped upside down, right? Everything's backwards,
right.
Typically,
well,
too.
And
that, you know, flush before that it goes backwards, you know what I mean? Good day.
Right, I get what you're saying. Right now,
down
it's
under.
Winter, despite it being summer. I kind of get what you were saying. Also
there
in there, did you check out the USAB box score and game cast?
Yeah.
Every stat and number you could hope for from the exhibition match. The Americans actually shot it pretty well, 53.9% from their two-point shots, 41.4 from three, but 18 turnovers to only 13 out of Australia. Here was the leading statistical performers yesterday for Team USA. AD in both exhibition matches, a double-double, 17 points, 14 boards yesterday against Australia. Anthony Edwards into the starting five yesterday. The Ant-Man, 13 points against the Canadians, 14 points yesterday against Australia. Devin Booker chimed in with 16 as well. I believe there were only five Americans in double figures in the first exhibition match against Canada, six yesterday. LeBron, Embiid and Bam Adebayo checking in there. 0 minutes recorded yesterday for Nigel Hayes Davis and Micah Potter, the noted Wisconsin alums who played in the opening exhibition match in Las Vegas. TBD on if those two made the trip to Abu Dhabi with Team USA.
Yeah, and also I don't see Derek White showing up in 8 minutes, and we know that Kevin Durant's still trying to get over that injury before he hits the lineup. But I am on the USA basketball website, and I do have my calculator out trying to determine who actually scored as many points. So it's good that we have the graphic up there to show you exactly, because apparently Team USA doesn't like points and doesn't let you see how many points anybody scores here. You got to do it on your own, which is ridiculous having said that. But I'll tell you what else is ridiculous. Having like 15 warm-up games before we actually get to the Olympics and playing in Abu Dhabi, but it is what it is. I guess there's a reason for it. We just need to get to the Olympics so we can actually start seeing this team ready to go in a full gas situation.
Next up is Nikola Jokic and the Serbians, also in Abu Dhabi. The USA yesterday was greater than a $5 favorite at -510 to win the Olympic gold medal. Maybe a couple of issues that need to be solved. 30 cents of movement off that price, but still very strong at -480. Canada remains in that second best position at 11-1. France at 13-1. Serbia, the fourth best number at 19-1. The Aussies move up the board at 60-1 right now. Team USA still a very strong favorite, but maybe some more drama around the Americans, as we shared in our opening segment. The Clippers president of basketball operations, Lawrence Frank, issued a statement yesterday that he was, quote, very disappointed in Team USA for removing and replacing Kawhi Leonard as a part of the American roster. Frank even adding that he was at the first two practices for Team USA at training camp in Las Vegas and noted that Kawhi Leonard looked A-OK and that the Clippers wanted Kawhi to play as a part of this American roster at the Paris Olympics, exactly contradicting Team USA's statement that Kawhi Leonard, in conjunction with the Clippers, wanted to get back and focus on the upcoming NBA season.
Yeah, no, and that's you can only read between the tea leaves here because we're not inside the room itself. But when he left camp, that ominous tweet from Team USA was almost like, well, both sides felt it was best that he would try to get ready for the season next year, which led to believe that there was only two things. He injured himself, which nobody heard of here. And why would Kawhi, who's always worried about getting injured, go to a USA basketball training camp and expect to play in the Olympics, knowing full well he likes his rest time here? And to be sent home with that ominous tweet, you know me, I love to pry a little bit deeper and say, that doesn't make any sense. What guy absolutely on his offseason commits to Team USA, shows up and goes through training camp, and out of nowhere just decides to leave, and instead of a tweet to cover for him from Team USA, hey, look, Kawhi's a little bit stiff, felt it was best that, you know, he owes his allegiance to the Los Angeles Clippers and getting ready for the season, we could have bought that. But the fact that that statement didn't come out, and then it let it fester for a couple days, and now you see the covering now from the Clippers side going like, no, we love Kawhi. Kawhi wanted to stay there. They just didn't want him because it just felt like the match wasn't there. And I joked about, you know, everybody's been to practice with a player on their team that doesn't really feel like being there on that day. Hey, let's run a 5-on-5. This guy's not even walking up and down the court. Hey, man, do you really want to be here? No, I don't want to be here. All right, then get out of here. There you go. Back on a plane back to the United States at that point here where he's out. So it's one of those things where if you're looking into it deeply, is it that big of a deal? Probably not. But apparently he didn't want to be there. And he wasn't meshing with the coaching staff and or the other players.
Yeah, some more drama last night in Las Vegas, kind of. Jaylen Brown was sitting courtside for an NBA Summer League action, and the NBC Sports Boston account was just filming him having a conversation. And you could read his lips rather clearly that Jaylen Brown was saying, Bronny doesn't seem like a pro. Referring to Bronny James. Jaylen Brown this morning has come out and quote tweeted this social media video and had this to share about what was seen last night. It's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness and longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful. I look forward to watching his growth. Ah, the drama in the summer months here in the NBA and in basketball.
That's right, because down the line, you're probably going to have to pair with LeBron James in a couple of business ventures. You don't want to get frozen out there, so you got to start right now by saying how good Bronny James can be and what a great pro he can be, because it's best for your financial future, because LeBron James is going to be an NBA owner one of these days, and you just might want to buy into that franchise that he's with and or go in on a couple options with him. Don't get mad at Bronny. Don't get mad at Bronny. It's LeBron James pulling those strings now.
All right, enough of the manufactured drama on the hardwood, or maybe off it. It is time for football. Day number two of SEC Media Days in Dallas, and a ton of rookies showing up to NFL training camp. Break it all down up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In the Southeastern Conference, it just means more media days. Four of them, in fact, in Dallas, Texas this week to kick off a new year of SEC football. On day number one, it was LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vandy at the podium. Today, on day number two, one of the newcomers makes their debut at SEC Media Days. That would be Oklahoma, with Texas following on a Wednesday afternoon. Georgia, Tennessee, and Missouri also at the mic. I'm sure we will hear a lot of Kirby Smart getting grilled, and rightfully so, for all of the dangerous and reckless driving arrests and run-ins with the law in Athens, Georgia, out of his Bulldogs team. A lot to get to today at SEC Media Days on day number two in Dallas. But we start with this. Four media days for the SEC. Donnie Wrightside has to love that.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what are we doing on SEC Media Day in Dallas? Now, I understand that you're adding, you know, the University of Texas there, so you want that Texas footprint right away. But I did hear a pretty funny thing that all of a sudden said, hey, I know we're opening up today, but get this. We're going to be in Atlanta next year, back where the SEC belongs, for our Media Day, and away we go. Which I do, but like, when you talk about the SEC, the heart of the SEC technically is Atlantis, where they play the SEC championship, easy to get to for most of the schools. But understand why they're going to Texas, sort of that olive branch to say, you know what? Flagship program in this state is Texas. Let's honor them by coming over to the SEC, and rightfully so. But this is the media market that is basically the closest to professional sports, where the beat writers come in flocks as opposed to just a few scatterings and questions. We love the SEC because typically the rivalries are already there. The one thing that is a shame is we no longer have Nick Saban as a coach at SEC Media Day, as opposed to now being in the media, where I think he left his credential and they didn't let him in. Picture that too, right? Nick Saban shows up to media day, usually just whisks through because he has, you know, 15 guards with Alabama. You know who he is. Nobody's checking his ID. But now he's just rolling up there in a nice suit trying to get in. Sir, I don't know who you are at this point. I'm Nick Saban. Who was Nick Saban? I used to coach Alabama. You don't coach him now. You got to go back to your room and get your credential, come back in. So that was pretty funny from yesterday. But I guess that's the biggest part. No longer Saban at SEC Media Day. And I did like when he would have a feud with some of the actual reporters and or other coaches in the SEC. I do miss that.
Nick Saban, a journalist just like Donnie Wrightside and myself, did not have his credential, maybe did not know he needed his credential at SEC Media Days for the 18th consecutive year, but for the first time in the last 17 as a media member and not the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Kalen DeBoer, the new head man in Tuscaloosa, on the stage tomorrow at SEC Media Days. Of course, Nick Saban will be a feature of ESPN's College Game Day this year, the second best college football pregame show in this country, only behind, of course, College Football Today. But Nick Saban also doing work this week with the SEC Network. I love Nick, but we got to tighten it out just a little bit here, Saban, from one media member to the next. Don't say you question why Texas is getting all of the love in the SEC, expected to contend for a conference crown when they didn't really do anything even in their previous conference. And then when asked what your conference championship game prediction is, have Texas playing Georgia. That's not how it worked, Nick. If you go with one, you cannot say the other, but Nick Saban is not alone in believing that the Longhorns are going to play for an SEC title come that opening Saturday in December in Atlanta, Georgia. Texas has the second best price to win the SEC championship this year at plus 350 only behind those Bulldogs from Athens.
Yeah, it should be. And again, it's a lot different vantage point here in the SEC. Where, granted, new teams and expansion, we get that. But also the advent of the playoffs expanding from, you know, the mythical national champion to the BCS era 1 and 2 to 4, and now the true expansion that we have now, which is awesome. So when you enter into the season, sometimes it's not always about it's do or die on a week-to-week basis. You now have coaches with, like, that second life and that second opportunity. How many times in the past was like, hey, LSU is going to travel to Alabama. Well, winner of that game is probably going to win the SEC and goes on to the championship. And the loser, who might only have one loss on the season, doesn't get to play for anything at that point. So I do think it's interesting this year where the SEC takes on that hole where typically it was like, okay, you're doing yourself damage, where maybe a team from the ACC or Big Ten is like, man, that's a cakewalk schedule. They went unbeaten. They're in the national championship round, as opposed to a two-loss SEC team going like, we played so many tough teams on this season, it's unfair that we had to do this and you get to advance. Now you get the benefit of the doubt. One loss is even two losses will be able to get you into a national championship picture. So I like that, and I like to see the coaches, how they operate on a day-to-day basis, where so many times, like, you lose second week of the season. Hey, kids, I got to keep you motivated. We're not playing for anything the rest of the year, but let's see if we can win some football games. That's no longer the case, and I really like that.
At the Power Conference level, of course, no longer divisions in any of the four that we have remaining. There are six teams around the SEC. Make that seven, in fact, because I believe Tennessee is at, no, 8.5 for the Volunteers. Six teams in the SEC with a win total of 9.5 or higher for the likes of LSU, Alabama, and Missouri. The under has significant juice. But even a 9-3 SEC team will certainly be in the running come November when the CFP rankings are first released for one of those seven at-large bids to the college football playoff. Ole Miss, one of those teams with a 9.5 win total within the SEC, in the over the slight bit of juice. I bet it yesterday, looking at the run and rev schedule this year under Lane Kiffin, I think there is a great path for the Rebels to maybe contend for an SEC crown or at least a spot in the college football playoff. Greg Sankey thinks very highly of himself. He is the SEC commissioner, and he had this to say yesterday. Quote, we know who we are in the Southeastern Conference. We're the one conference at this level where the name still means something. The Southeastern part of the United States, let's not bring up Missouri or Oklahoma, where when we expanded, we actually restored historic rivalries that, if we end off that quote, they had destroyed years prior by poaching Texas A&M from the Big 12 to ruin one of the longest standing rivalries in college football between the Aggies and the Longhorns. But he is correct in the renewal of that historic rivalry, the Lone Star State Showdown, later this season. But the idea that they have kind of had conference realignment work in their way when they were the first people to even start this wave of realignment, adding OU and Texas, is a little bit lost on me. So that's SEC Media Days in Dallas. Eight more teams have their rookies report to NFL training camp today, and yesterday was the end of franchise tag extension talks. We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first rookies to show up to training camp in the National Football League, that was the Baltimore Ravens over the weekend. Eight more teams send their rooks to camp to really start preparations for 2024 NFL's campaign on this Tuesday. The Buffalo Bills, Chicago Bears, the LA Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, the New Orleans Saints, and the San Francisco 49ers. That is the group of eight. Even Patrick Mahomes woke up on this Tuesday morning and shared out a tweet, KC, let's do it. As of tomorrow, the Houston Texans not only send their rookies, but their veterans as well, as they will play in the first preseason game of the year on August 1st against the Chicago Bears in Canton, Ohio, known as the Hall of Fame game. DRS football right around the corner.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And also, it's really like the orientation practices for the young rookies. There's a reason why they come into camp first. It's not that they don't think they can be good football players. It's like, all right, here's how practice are going to go. So when the veterans come here, stay out of their way. Don't get them angry. Some of you will only be here for 2 and 3 days of these practices. Let's just get you into the tempo so you can know what to anticipate. Same thing when you're going to high school with freshman football or just high school itself. You always had a freshman orientation before the actual other students came in, just so you can get the lay of the land. But it's good to see the rookies come into training camp. And typically with those rookies, usually the starting quarterback as well, no matter how pricey he is, does come in with the rookies to set that tone and get those practice reps under the belt before the vets come in along with them. So football season certainly officially underway every day now. More and more teams will be headed to training camp. Before you know it, August 1st, we will be watching live football from a preseason game, which no starters will play, but it will still be football on our TV.
Maybe Caleb Williams, maybe for the Chicago Bears, but we shall see. Let's not forget the Hall of Fame game a couple of years ago where Josh McDaniels had Josh Jacobs in a contract year out there plowing through people on 8 feet dives up the middle. It was fantastic. So today is July 16th, now a very important day in the offseason calendar with 9 teams officially underway in camp. But yesterday, July 15th, also an important day. It was franchise tag tender extension day. You couldn't come to a long-term agreement, but if you wanted to rework a short-term, it was your time to come to a long-term agreement. If you did not, a short-term agreement needed to be worked out from this point. But it was really only a focus on T. Higgins because this offseason, way back in early March, 9 players around the NFL DRS placed under a franchise or transition tag. 8 of the 9 received a new deal. 6 of those 8 with their current team that placed them under the tag. Both Brian Burns of the New York Giants and L'Jarius Sneed were traded and extended, as we'll show you in just a moment. Joshua Hines-Allen changes his last name to honor his legacy after he got a huge 5-year, $150 million extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Antoine Winfield Jr., one of the highest paid safeties in the history of the NFL, his big deal with the Buccaneers. Jalen Johnson with the Bears, Michael Pittman Jr. with the Colts, Justin Madubuike with the Baltimore Ravens, and Kyle Duggar under the transition tag, agreeing to a new contract extension with the New England Patriots.
Which is what's supposed to happen. When you're getting a franchise tag, what's the franchise think of you here? You are one of the best players in this organization. We cannot afford to lose you. So most of the time, that player's unhappy to get the tag. Cooler heads prevail. You meet with ownership, your agent, players alike, and you say, you know what? What's going to make us happy here? We don't want you coming to camp angry, and we love you. You're a great player. We want you to be in our franchise for a long time. So you see, all of those players got extended, which is why it comes to T. Higgins, which I just can't fathom this. It's like when you go back to like a, not even like a reunion. Let's just say you haven't seen the boys together for a year because you all been away at college. You all graduated. Everybody in that room, let's just say there's 5 guys. 4 guys got unbelievable offers to be lawyers at great law firms. You're a lawyer, and then the law firm you're going is like, you know what? We're not going to pay you. We just want you to be an intern this year. Like, I don't understand this. I'm on the same level as my boys here. I'm not getting work. So when you look at a T. Higgins, how can you go to like, hey, dap it up at a party. Hey, man, what's your contract look like? Man, I just got $75 million splashed in my account. How about you? I didn't get anything yet. I'm just going to get paid weekly this year. And if I get injured, I might not get anything into the future. He's the only guy sitting out here. The CeeDee Lamb is probably going to get paid by the Cowboys. But this T. Higgins thing, again, is what I joked about writing a thesis on this. I can't understand, number one, T. Higgins accepted this. And number two, his agent should be written up and have a lawsuit and expelled from actually being an agent in the NFL by the NFLPA. This is unbelievable that he is entering into the season as one of the best players and everybody around him in his position got paid but him, and he's still going to play. I'm at a loss for words by this. I am.
He's going to play under the tag. It's worth about $21 million this year. It's top 15 in the NFL in terms of salary. Hour number 2 comes your way next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.